Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, what's it like? What's it like? What's it like to see the moment? To feel yourself growing. This is greatness that I'm showing. Close your eyes, I'm still glowing. Close the door, I'm still going. This is grand business. Have a seat and be a witness. Hey, what's it like?
It's about that time. Strictly Hoops with CJ Miles is hitting the airwaves.
How you doing, man? I'm good. How you, man?
I'm doing well, Fantastic. Coming off a Raptors win. Rate and review and subscribe on your podcast platforms, YouTube. Yes, sir. Like and subscribe there as well. CJ.
Every button. Press them all.
Every single one.
And listen to the song in the beginning also.
Hey, what a lot. It's beautiful. Love that song. Thank you. We should add some of your newer songs towards the end of the podcast. We could do that too if you want.
I'm not mad at it. We could do whatever. It's our show, right? We can do whatever we want to do.
And that show hits the airwaves, as I said, every single Thursday. And that's why we're recording today. Every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
An episode will hit your podcast feed and also hit the YouTube channel. So please check it out.
More chewing for your head top.
Exactly. Why did we both wear yellow today? That's my question.
I don't know, man. It's fall, man. You know, the good colors are coming out. The good earthy tones, because it's not bright. It's not bright yellow. Because mine is showing up a little brighter than it is on the camera. I see that because of the lights, but it's not. It's very, you know, I got the camo pants on. You can't see me, but I'm always nicely dressed. People know that about me.
Yeah. You say pride, just like Dennis Schroeder, who, by the way, I should mention.
I'm not on that level.
No. I want to clarify something because I learned more about why he took so long that day after his media availability. He did a French interview before he came to the podium. Mm. So just want to give him that cred that he also did that beforehand. Mm. So that's why it took longer than usual. He was very good yesterday against the Bucks. Actually, first.
He's been really good, period.
Oh, he's been very good. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Yak and Dennis Schroeder pick and roll. We're going to talk about the Bucks game. We're going to talk about Grady Dick. We're going to talk about 0.5 basketball. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of things. All right. But first, I want to get your thoughts on the Raptor City Edition jersey. I know players, they take pride in the jerseys and they want to look good, as we know. And the Raptors, their City Edition jersey came out today. Again, OVO themed. Your thoughts on it?
That's the best one.
Best one? Yeah.
That's the best OVO jersey for sure. Like, yeah. I like the one that we had, the black one. I did like that one. But that one's fire. I like the gold champagne, whatever color you want to call it, with the black. I like it, especially when you get to wear it at home. That's when I like them the most, when you get to wear. I like wearing dark colors at home. I always like that. I don't know why, but I always like that.
Yeah, there was a Dennis Schroeder, again, as I mentioned, during media day, he accidentally tweeted out a photo of, or not tweet, it was an IG story. He sent out a photo, wasn't supposed to because it was unreleased at that point. And so people got a glimpse of it and it didn't look as good in that kind of setting. But once you get the players in it, you're seeing like the high resolution images. It looks a lot better. Although I still think I want to see more purple in their City Edition jersey. I want to see them go back to it, but I'm not sure if that's possible with the influence of Champagne Poppy.
But I'm with you on that too. I love the purple, like the Raptor. When they did it, I was jealous because that was right after I was gone. Right, I wanted that jersey bad. Like,
yeah.
I gotta figure out. I gotta see if I can call somebody here to make me one. But
I'm sure that
one's that one's really cool. But this is my favorite OBO City Edition.
No, it's nice. What was the favorite jersey that you rocked in your NBA career?
Oh, the Flojo.
Yeah?
Hands down.
The For Flojo anyone who Pacer. Doesn't know, what was a Flojo?
The Flojo Pacer jersey. So the one that with the stripe across it. The blue, the navy blue and the yellow. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. That's nice.
That was my because it just embodied so much, right? You know the history of that team and of Indiana and growing up and getting to see it and then getting to play in it. The only one I would have liked to play in even more was the pinstripe one. The white with the, or the blue, but I did steal a pair of shorts of the pinstripe jersey though. Country,
you
shout
stole
out
them?
To, well,
you
not stole. Country looked out for me, right? I did it on every team. I would go back there and like look and see what stuff they had that was old just laying around. Cause I got some old, I got the camouflage Raptor shorts too. The camouflage jersey, because I wasn't there for that. And I got the shorts from them for that.
Nice. So what's next on your on your theft list?
I'm done. So whatever anybody sends me at this point, I'm not going in the place.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, the Bucks game yesterday, we were talking off air. The Milwaukee Bucks, they got some things to figure out. Holy smokes. However, your thoughts on the Bucks from what you saw yesterday. Going into the game, they were one of the worst defensive teams in terms of defensive rating, and we saw why that was the case, I think.
Yeah. Like, I won't lie, I haven't watched them super – I haven't been super tuned in to them. Like, I mean, I know it looks good on paper, and I know Chris Middleton's still trying to get his sea legs right. There's a lot going on with that too. But just watching them, like we talked – they look disinterested in that game. Like, and then we talked – and I looked up the schedule like we talked about before. It was the third game in four nights. I understand travel fatigue, but, like, Giannis, the condition he plays, he's been in and the way he plays, and Dame not looking like Dame really to me in that game. Like, they didn't really look happy about what was going on, if that's the best way to put it. I know nights, people have nights, right? But
yeah,
they just didn't look as much as a unit as they've looked to me the last couple years or so, right? That was the biggest thing for me watching them.
And how they're using Brook Lopez is what I find the most perplexing, because we remember Brook the past few years under a different coach. He was in that like mega drop, and he was showing his length, and they were forcing those mid-range shots, and he was vertical. He was a rim protector. He was so imposing, and that was their a defensive identity, but everyone knew it, but you couldn't beat it necessarily because they also had some of the length, and they obviously had Jrue Holiday at the point of attack. Very different than Damian Lillard.
Yes, that changes a lot. No disrespect to Dame. Like, he's not the worst defender in the league or anything, but it's not Jrue Holiday, right? And you've been you've been playing defense and guys have been playing with that guy guarding the ball or guarding the best guy or whatever it may be, right? And Chris Middleton's solid defender too. They got, like you said, a lot of length with Giannis and Lopez being on the floor, but the head of the snake being different definitely changes things on that end. Now, the dynamic stuff that Dame brings on the other end is going to make up for some of that, obviously, at some point. But still, defensively, there's a lot of change that comes with this, right? There's so much that Jrue just makes up for. Like, the gaps that you have to fill now, you don't know them because Jrue and Giannis have been so good, you didn't know you had these weak spots yet.
Mm-hmm. And you look at it, they had the point of attack set figured out, and then they had their back line, their rim protector figured out. Those are two things that are, you know, one of the weaknesses probably of most defenses when they're not that good. Mm-hmm. And they had those mastered. Now, Chris Middleton, he played 17 minutes yesterday. Malik Beasley is starting at the two. I think they probably have to, A, make some adjustments with their rotations or substitutions, or B, maybe it's they got to find someone else, because this is another year where you're going for a championship, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that there might be some changes on the way, because as it is, even if they improve and the rotations are tighter and all that, I'm not sure if under this kind of defense, they're going to be able to reach like NBA championship caliber on the defensive side of things. Offensively, I mean, it is what it is, but everyone plays defense in the playoffs. And I'm not sure if they're going to be able to cover up some of these weaknesses.
There's going to be some more time. Yeah. Like, it's really early. And when you got great players on your team, you try to give them time because they can make up for so much, like we were saying. But like you said, they're also going to miss. We talk about Jrue Holiday, but they're going to miss Grayson Allen's off the bench and the different punches. And these guys filling those holes have to figure out how they're going to make their mark with this team now, right? What are they going to do that provides that spark and that energy that really helps carry when those other guys are out or not having the best night, or a team just focuses solely on them and says, you're going to have to beat me? Can Malik Beasley give me 30? Yes, I've seen him do it before, but can he do it now with this system and with these type of shots and difference in it? How can he impose the game? How can he impose his will on the game?
Mm. That's enough about the Milwaukee Bucks. Moving on to the Toronto Raptors, the team that won. What was different about their half-court offense? That was the sore thumb so far this season. It's been very up and down. They've had games where they've shot well from three. Actually, they've had three games where they shot well from three. And still, the half-court offense is in the mud. It's not looking like a sustainable way for them to create half-court offense, you know, game in, game out, against different kinds of opponents. And as I mentioned, you know, Milwaukee, not the best probably representation of what a good defense is, but it's important that the Raptors are stringing together, you know, some good performances. So did you see anything different from how they're operating with their half-court offense, sir?
I mean, first of all, it's still a lot of early turnovers, right? They're still turning the ball over early in the game.
Even
when we're talking about a team that's not a great defensive team, you still have a lot of early turnovers. Like that, I think them really still searching out that point five, right? Still trying to figure it out, still trying to get the bearings with how fast they want to play and what they want to do with certain guys. I think that's part of it, but they're still not hesitating on threes, and guys are making having good nights, right? And it's contributing to really good starts.
Mm-hmm.
And the games they start well, obviously, you make threes, you start well. It's not really a secret thing. But I think the more and more they keep moving it, the more and more they keep giving it up in transition early and pushing, the half court obviously will have time to settle as long as we can do the other things. But right now, it's just about finding your bearings, finding your rhythm with each other. They all want to do it right. You can tell. They're all moving super fast. They're all like, I got to go. It hasn't become second nature yet. It hasn't become a reflex. Right now, they have to think about moving in 0.5 and when I should cut. And when it becomes real fluid, then we'll really get a real good look at it. And that takes some games. And then you decide, all right, we might have to make some changes.
Right. What's good is that they seem all in sync and that they know their defense is fueling their offense. And that's not always an easy thing for a team to wrap their head around. And last year's team, I think it was similar, but the results weren't there, especially as the season went on. It felt like, you know, you're playing this all this defense and things just weren't going according to plan. But with this team right now, I mean, their defense is ridiculously good. It is very, very good. Just a quick stat, they're forcing the most misses from other teams right now, just like straight up basket going in or basket not going in. They're forcing the most misses in the NBA.
I mean, right now it's flat out effort.
Yeah.
Like they're just locked in, right? Like it's not like there's no mistakes being made or anything. They're just playing hard. Like that's the biggest thing that makes you notice that Milwaukee looks disinterested, or maybe they just weren't prepared for the energy they were going to play with. And we talked about this is the advantage of playing 10, 11 guys also.
Like
we got a bunch of fresh bodies out there. We got a bunch of guys that can play as hard as they can play. They're trying to earn minutes, and they already know I'm only going to get 6-7 minute stints at a time anyway. So why not gas out and go sit down and drink some water, and I'll be back. But I think it's really great to see them really locked into that, because if that grows and then the offense catches up a little bit, it's 130 is easy every night.
Sure.
Like you got, especially when you got guys making threes, you got Scotty shooting step back threes on the break. You got guys moving without the ball well. Like, Grady got some threes up. He didn't shoot it well, but, like, they're all good shots, right? So, if he makes three more of his, what is he, 1-for-8 in that game? Is that the game?
Yes, he was. 1-for-8,
that's the game. So, and they're really good looks. Like, two of those going in, he's 3-for-8. Changes. Two of them going in, he's probably ends up being 5-for-8 instead, because now you feel better, right? You don't have any pressure on the shots, but, like, him making some more threes on top of the guys that are making them changes that game even more.
He was doing a bit of the laser beam shot that you had mentioned the other day. And I think his last three, I saw more arc on it than I've ever seen him put on a shot, or at least recently. And it didn't go in, but I mean, it seems like he's trying things at least.
But so I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about him, unless we might as well segue to him now since we're here.
Yeah, sure. Let's just, while we're here.
Yeah. The thing is, though, is it comes with this part of the learning curve, right?
Yeah.
Like, I got to learn how to prepare. I got to learn how to be consistent. I got to learn how to not let last game affect this game, good or bad. Like, that just – because there's so much emotion in a young player in the beginning, because there's so much you got to learn how – to not search for what you already have, right? Like every night he's trying to prove that I'm supposed to be here. And we already know that, or at least the players do, the team do. And we know you need time, but we don't think you're not supposed to be here. We just know you need time. The player thinks I have to do it right now. I got to get it done. And I'm searching. I'm like, oh, I missed that one. I got to make the next five, or I got to change it right away. I got to fix it right away. And then you just got to be able to play by play, game by game, night by night. He has a big thing that for me, the little thing for him is Giannis comes at him on the break, gives up an and one. I remember this play in the first half. The next time Giannis, and I'm thinking in my head, just get in front, try to take the charge. You're not blocking it. You're not. And if you're going to touch him, touch him. Grab his arms, wrap him up, whatever. Next time Giannis comes down in lane and he's in the play, he gets in front of him, clogs the lane, takes a charge. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so it lets you know he's aware of what's going on. He's moving well without the ball offensively. He's taking good shots. He's not hesitating. Because the one he made, I think he had taken three before that and had missed them. And there was no hesitation the next one he shot when he made it. So you know he's not afraid. It's just about finding his pace.
Yeah. After the game, Darko said he's got some guts for taking a charge on Giannis. And Pascal said, that was impressive. Didn't think he would do that. I mean, it's not something that every player wants to do. And he didn't really take a direct hit from Giannis. It was more like a shoulder to shoulder kind of thing. But hey, he got in there, and he's only shown us throughout preseason and also throughout this season so far is that he's willing to do the dirty work.
Yeah, and if that's my only option to stop him, I gotta like that's my only option in that position, right? There's no other way with him having a full head of steam to stop him besides hoping you can cut him off. So, but I mean, it's a great play, and it's a great awareness, especially after giving up an A1 before. A lot of guys are like, I don't want to get another foul, and it's kind of like you have commit to it.
Sure. On the Raptors' defense, it seems like they do a really nice job of containing contesting. So there's a lot of resistance at the point of attack, also at their rim protection. Jakob Poeltl, when pressure to Chua, when he's back, it seems like they just have a very focused idea of the principles and what the game plan is, and they're following it. I mean, there was a possession yesterday where OG was guarding Giannis at the top of the key, and you had four players with 1 foot in the paint, and then you also had OG with both feet in. And OG, I mean, he did a terrific job, as he always does, against any star player. But it seems like they're buying into those little details. And also, you know, when Giannis is on the wing, you have help side coming from Scottie Barnes, who's just so incredibly active right now, man. Holy, he's just go on defense. And I was looking at the stats earlier, I don't have them in front of me, but the Raptors are much, much, much better on defense when he's on the floor.
Yeah, the motor that he's playing with everywhere, because he's getting triple doubles, he's affecting the whole game, right? So like, I think that energy is what's carrying over into everything else, because you start to see the success from that type of energy on the game. He's like, I can carry it over to everything. And then like once he's mastered this pace, he can play at this pace and still see slowly, right? There's less turnovers coming. There's less, you think, you just see him. And my favorite thing about him on the other side is that he's not playing no games when he got the mismatch. Still, I'm saying this. Like, I'm not pulling out my footwork. I'm not testing my bag. I'm like, you're small, I'm big.
Yeah.
We're going to the rim, foul me, or I'm going to lay it up or dunk it. Like, we're just going to get that easy bucket, and we're not going to waste no energy, right? Double team comes, I can pass. I see it. But right now, that's my favorite thing about what he's doing. Carrying the energy, contesting shots, rebounding, pushing, and then offensively when he's got a mismatch, because only brings confidence, and that's where a step back three comes in, right? Because now I've made 3 out of 5 or 3 out of 4, and now I'm feeling good. Guy backs all the way up. All right, I got no problem with this.
Sure. And we just talked about the Milwaukee Bucks and like their peak of their defense, Drew Holiday and Brooke Lopez. The Raptors have Dennis Schroeder and Jakob Poeltl. That's their point of attack, and that's their rim protection. Both of those guys, they were working yesterday, man, offensively and defensively. Dennis just like getting around those screens, working his ass off, trying to make sure to just negate those lines to the rim. And then Jakob, there was like the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game, right? He was, you know what I'm talking about. Holy.
You read my mind. It was his game.
Preach.
Everything.
Yeah.
Both sides. Contesting shots, rebounding, offense rebounding, making himself available on the baseline and in the middle when guys drive. There's one play. There's a Giannis goes to the rim. There's a contest or whatever. And Giannis is trying to get the rebound, and then Yacht like snatches it over to start the break.
Give me
he's getting tip dunks, tip ins.
Yeah.
Setting good screens and rolling, making the pass out of the roll. Like he's just in a real good space right now, and he's really just contributing to how the motor can work and mm-hmm. how 0.5 can even be good with a big. Like they can understand it too, right? He's not doing anything extra.
Anything else on the defense? I just the scrambling within their switching too. It's very cohesive. It's connective. Which I really like too. Like, I mean, even Grady Dick, I mean, he's so young, but it seems like he's getting these concepts really well. And then you add in Otto Porter Jr., who's not going to be playing tonight against the 76ers. It's more still of a load management thing. They have a game plan that he had mentioned yesterday that when it comes to ramping up his action, and he's not doing double back-to-backs right now. So he's not going to play tonight, but he was and just a great influence on the defensive end and everyone, man. Like, you got Pascal, you got OG, everyone's firing all cylinders. And just like you said, who played the most yesterday? It was Pascal Siakam at 32 minutes.
Yeah,
32. That's
a sweet spot. It's a sweet spot for him, right? And when we need him to play 40, we'll need it. But defensively, still one of the biggest things for me that's in my notes is the contest. Their effort to contest shots is outstanding right now. Mm-hmm. Like there's so many times you see, say a guy has to stop the ball and help, like say a guy on the wing is on the elbow and because he's helping on the ball. There's so many contests you see where the help of the helper contests and the guy's getting back to contest.
Yeah.
There's two guys flying at the shooter. There's so many times I saw that. In the first half alone, I could probably count multiple 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the whole game, but I just know that was a big thing to me because it just shows the effort, and it also shows that they're drilling that into their heads. We got to contest everything. And as much as guys shoot threes now, as much as like guys are becoming good at standstill because that's all everybody practices in practice. It's the only thing they do is shoot threes. So we got to contest everything now.
Yeah. And when they contest, it's different because they have so much length. And it's an intelligent help, right? They're using good angles when they do help with their defense, and the hands are in the passing lanes. And Jakob, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, when it comes to that pick and roll with Dame, he's forcing those rounded drives and he's not taking fouls. Like sometimes it's so hard to keep Dame in control, but if the big isn't containing Dame, as he goes around that screen, he's able to get downhill with like a single line drive towards the rim. Then, I mean, you're compromising your defense as I mentioned earlier. So he's not allowing that. This is where the mobile big aspect of Jakob is so valuable.
Yeah. I have nothing but praise for him defensively. Like I got no, like we can sit here all day and just tell everybody, everybody's great right now. Right. Like, but yes, like that length and that mobility and the effort is unmatched. Right. Because we fight every night just to get the effort. That's what most teams do defensively. So now if I get effort and I got 3-6-9 guys and I got a 7-footer that can move and I got a point guard that dodges every screen and tries to steal everything. Like if I got all this effort with athletic ability, it mutates into a championship caliber defense. Mm-hmm. I don't have any other words for that. That's what I got for that.
They're allowing the 6th fewest shots inside 5 feet. So that's a good mark. You want to protect the paint? Well, don't let them get there. And they're not allowing that either. Let's switch to, I want to ask you about this thing. Do you feel like the Raptors are utilizing post-ups more than they were 4 games ago?
I think I think it's just a matter of seeing the game, right?
Yeah.
Guys we have that are really good in that spot. And what the matchup is and how we can make it easier on them. I don't think it's a conscious effort from like the coach being like, we got to get, I think it's the player saying, as we go, this is our best player. He's really, really good right there. Mm-hmm. Or this guy has the best matchup. He's really, really good right there. Let's go ahead and utilize this size and this athleticism. I don't think it's like, let's get some post-ups. Let's play out of the post. I think it's just basketball.
Yeah.
And you want to win games, you put the best players in the best position. That goes with Dennis being able to see it, every other guy that handles the ball just being able to see what the best play is. And I think that's one of the things I see watching it is that they just are just falling into a groove and seeing things and seeing how you can play off of them. And the shooters know if I can get these guys in the post, that double teams are going to happen. And the point guard knows the more the double teams happen, the kickouts, I can attack closeouts. And like, I think it's just the game developing and giving them more game.
Sure. I ask you that question because it, I mean, it's hard to track that kind of data, at least with what's available to me, because I don't think NBA.com and their like stats and how they track this stuff, it's not accurate. Like I was looking at yesterday's game and they said that the Raptors only had 3 post-ups, and I looked at Pascal Siakam and Scottie Barnes' shots. I'm like, I see at least 6 right there very quickly. So it's a hard thing for me to track personally, but I mean, Pascal had talked about this actually a few days ago. He said that, you know, it's a matchups league and you have to utilize your matchups. And, you know, against the 76ers and against the Bucks yesterday, we saw, you know, Pascal and Scotty taking guys on the block, drawn to his kick out pass, and then they're able to get some wide open threes for their teammates. And I wonder if they're trying to incorporate that aspect along with 0.5 Pascal, because they're not like kind of messing around with their post-ups. They're getting into them quickly. They're decisive with it.
Even OG is getting the post-ups.
Yeah.
Even OG is getting them.
Those deep
the
seals, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's figuring out how to get them. And I think it's a pick your poison thing, right? Like, I got a mismatch. You decide what you want to do. You want to come double team me and not let me get in the rhythm, or you want to let my guys make threes all night or put your defense in rotation all night, which will eventually break the whole thing. And now everything is open, right? The guys are getting blown by on closeouts, missed assignments, late on the post up because the guys made 3 threes already. Everything goes bad. So you got to pick right now. You got to pick something. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go.
A few things that Darko has mentioned over the past few games caught my eye. Yesterday, he was asked, like, is this about as perfect of a game you can play? And he said, not even close. And he said the defense was very good, but he was more referring to the offense of offensively, there's so much leeway for us to get better on. And I was wondering what that meant, because I don't think, I mean, yesterday, as I said, it was a lot of post-ups and there was a lot of pick and roll, obviously. And there were moments where they could have been good, could have been better, but I wonder what he's referring to when he says that. I mean, I'll defer to you because I was going to ask you about your experiences with, you know, playing 0.5 basketball. And obviously there's ways in which they can get, you know, better possession. There's better cuts, better screening angles, ghosting, rip throughs, all this stuff, you know, jab and goes. They can be more effective at all these things. But what do you think when you hear a coach say that? Like, how many ways in which are they able to get that much better at this style of basketball?
I think it's just the coach being like, it's basically him saying the work is never done, right? Like, it's not, we celebrate what we're doing well and the improvements and we do this, but he also has the advantage of having the vision. He has the full vision. Mm-hmm. We don't know what the full vision of. We just know the pieces he's trying to implement right now and what they're trying to catch up to. So us not knowing what he fully sees kind of hinders that insight. But at the same time, we're looking at it like that's, oh my goodness, if they can do this, if they can do that. So I couldn't imagine what his plan is, where he's at, and what and how excited he is. And you just want to be able to stand in a place, an even keel place. You don't want to get to a point where you start to overlook things, because you want to always improve. There's always place for improvement. And if you start to, you don't want to get to a place of complacency.
Yeah.
As a coach, as a player, as anything, like, you want to be able to look at the game even every night. Like, yeah, I shot, even if like OG has a 7-for-7 game, like we're talking about, like, all right, so how come we don't find a way to get him more shots? Or how could we, that doesn't take the efficiency down? You know what I mean? Cause he's clearly feeling it. So let's find a way to get him some more. Cause maybe he's 10 for 10, 11 for 11. If we get him the right shots. That's not to say they didn't try or the game didn't, but it's just like, I have to notice that. I have to see that. I have to look at, man, a botched handoff would have got him another three, or a late cut would have got him another three, or he didn't cut, or he didn't screen, or I just have to see and show guys awareness things, because the game will always present itself more ways to be creative once it becomes a necessity. So the better we get, the more defenses try different things, the more we get to play. The more we get to try things, the more we get to be creative. And I think that's the vision, right? To get into a space where it's just constant creativity and constant just...
Everything's second nature.
Yeah. It's just that.
So you've played 0.5 basketball at some point, or the concept of it. Like, NBA's changed, you know, over the years, but the idea of holding onto the ball for 0.5 seconds, passing it, less dribbling. You've done that before at some point, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my second year in Indiana, Coach Vogel was trying to play fast. That's when we that was the first team that really went small under his reign, right? And it was just about picking up the pace. Guys not really holding the ball, not didn't have to be a pick and roll every single time. Didn't have to be you dribble and just survey the floor. Let's move it, move it, move it, and get you to a spot on the wing where you're two dribbles away from whatever you're doing instead of seven. That was the biggest thing what we were trying to do and getting up shots earlier if they're open, like noticing the type of things. Because you get an open shot at 19, wide open, and you pass it up to put the ball on the floor, we're probably not going to get another wide open shot.
Yeah.
Like the percentages of getting wide open shots in a possession are so low. Wide open shots, not good shots, not kind of open, not late contest. I mean, like you, because you don't let the defense set and you create a tempo that makes somebody mess up early, you got to take advantage of that.
Victor couldn't reach the shot is what you're saying. That open.
Yeah, exactly. That yeah. And that's open.
Yes, it is. So something that I think
he could block my shot right now.
Holy man, our offenses are adjusting right now.
Yeah,
in a way that they haven't had to in a lot of coaching careers, I'm sure. Looking at players that may not be exactly shooting threats, like think of some of the players on the Raptors that can maybe, you know, they can maybe make a three at a 33-34% clip, but they're not going to be able to hit a shot where it's swing, 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 you know, put up the shot. How do players like that execute within 0.5 basketball to make sure they're creating advantages, they're touching the paint, they're able to get the ball swinging? Because I think that's something that some players are struggling with a little bit, that, you know, teams aren't really closing out on them very hard, and they're having to make some decisions. And sometimes it's just like they're swinging the ball around the perimeter, but no one's getting inside.
Mm-hmm.
So what are things that a player could do?
I think the biggest thing is just be ready for catch and goes, right? Even if you're not a shooting threat, you almost kind of have a little bit of advantage because the guy is kind of lazily coming at you. So if you can be ready to go when that ball hits your hands, you can catch him trying to figure out what he's going to do, right? If I'm going to stay back or if I'm going to get ready to contest, and you could just – and it doesn't have to be to score. Like, I think that's the biggest thing. It's just about making the defense react. So if it gets around to you again, now there's space to do something. You just want to make – a reaction. You want to start the breakdown. You want to start the rotation. And it doesn't always, or just knowing who's the next guy. Like if I'm on the wing and there's a guy in the corner, I'm not even looking at the rim. I'm catching it, running towards him for a handoff or going to screen away or going to, like, I can be active before the ball gets to me too.
Yeah. It requires more, I think, effort and focus, mental focus mm-hmm. with this style of basketball.
Mm-hmm. No, 100% because now I'm asking you to make a decision right now. I'm not asking you to survey, take your time. I'm asking you to already be ready, to already have an idea of what type of defense is being played, to know yourself, first of all. That's the biggest thing. So to know myself is going to let me know how the defense is going to play me, what they're going to do. So if I already know they're not closing out, I either one, I get my feet dug into the ground, I'm set to be able to shoot it in case nobody's even near me, because I got to take the open shot. Like, I know you work on it. I know everybody's mm-hmm. shooting threes. I know you're doing. So I got to be able to do that. And then at the same time, if I don't feel comfortable, I got to know what's next. I got to know the next step already. I got to know, like I said, who's in that corner, or if I'm going right back and going to a pick and roll. I have to be just open and ready for whatever's in front of me, which means I have to.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
know everything that we can do. I have to know all the options. I have to know every position on the floor, what's there. I have to know how I'm feeling and being honest about it.
Yeah, it seems like a tricky thing that some players are struggling with. They play with a lot more pace the past game against the Bucks, and in that 76ers game, or the Trailblazers game specifically, it was you weren't really recognizing that style of basketball as much. They were playing a lot slower. And credit to Pascal Siakam, who said that, you know, post game he mentioned to Scottie Barnes going into last night's game that we have to play with more energy, and he said we have to play with more energy off the bat. And I saw Pascal flying in a way yesterday that I haven't seen him fly like that outside of the home opener. He was cooking.
Yeah. Even the way he was like getting out and hedging on screens and the stuff he was doing when he wasn't switching and things like that. It's just a sense of urgency on all those guys. But like just seeing him do it, that's a leadership role, right? Like if I'm doing it, I'm the guy that's been an all-star on this team. I'm the guy that's hit game winners and been leaned on in this type of way. So I got to show that nothing is beneath me. Yeah. Cause if it's not beneath me, it can't be beneath you. You're trying to get to where I'm at. And the other thing, the piggyback on what we were talking about before, that makes this tricky, trying to implement these new things, is that there is so much freedom. You're not telling guys they can't do something. When the guy steps on the floor and already knows if he does it, he's come out of the game, it's different. Now when I create this space, if I want you to be creative and I want you to be free, that's what blows guys' minds. Because a lot of guys, their whole life have been told, you better not do this, that, or the third. They've been put in this box. And now basketball, there's no boxes in basketball no more. People are trying to get as far away from that as possible. At some point, there's going to be a team that has 8 or 9 KDs and Victor, I can't say his name right, Wembanyama. There's gonna be teams built like that where there's gonna be no space for you to play in a box. We can't play slow because 3 of those guys take up the whole floor.
When Coach Vogel was implementing that system, was it the same kind of growing pains that we're seeing with the Raptors?
It was worse, actually.
Okay.
It's not in a bad way. It's just you got to remember this is the beginning of this.
Yeah.
So none of these guys even like it's so much unknown, right? Like this is even Golden State still really early in really doing like being successful with it really at this time because. And on the East, nobody was doing it until Atlanta played Indiana in the playoffs. They did it to cancel out Roy Hibbert. They played a big that could shoot threes. Was it Muscala or one of them? They played them and they saw, and everybody in the East was like, oh, that's how we beat the number one defense in the NBA now. We got to get him off that play. We got to get him out of the game.
Yeah.
And we had to do something. So when I came, they had to do something to combat that. They had to have another lineup for when people did it. Because my first year, Roy played the whole year. He started a game. D-West started beside him. And then the next year, it's like, we got to have both sides of this now.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it was bad. It was because Monte Ellis comes, who's a guy who likes to have the ball in his hands. PG's coming back from breaking his leg. So he's proving that I'm PG still. This is not in a bad way. I'm just saying this is what's happening. Like, this is the demons that we all fighting, right? And you're just trying to teach other guys that have been playing 3 and 4 how to play 4 and 5. In my case, a guy that's been playing 2, I'm learning how to play 4. Like, all this stuff is just stuff you're trying to figure out for us.
Put on some bulk, CJ. You're going in the post.
Zach Randolph, Derek Favors, Lewis Scola, Dirk Nowitzki, Kevin Garnett. Who else? I mean, that part of the list alone tells you what that was like for me. I remember my sternum hurting.
Yeah, I bet.
That never hurt before from basketball.
Because you never played the 4. Darko mentioned the other day also, and he's some interesting quotes. He's he offers some good stuff, some good insight. Also, sometimes he's not he doesn't very elaborate too much, but if you just pinpoint some of the things that he says, it's interesting. He mentioned that it's difficult to play call because of the speed of 0.5 basketball. So all the decisions are being made by players on the floor. And I think this is why sometimes you might see the bench, they're struggling a little bit. It seems like the starters, they have a better flow at least. It hasn't always been leading to results necessarily, but it seems like they're getting into things a little bit faster. So is it always Dennis making that call? Or is it the person who's bringing the ball down the floor? Because even yesterday I saw Pascal bringing the floor ball down the floor a little bit. I haven't seen him do that too much actually so far this season. But anyway, is that part of the transition? Is that, I mean, we even saw this last season with the Raptors, is that there was a lot of freedom. They weren't playing 0.5 basketball necessarily, but I felt like the freedom was also a curse in that they would get into an action, it didn't work, and now there wasn't much secondary, third actions, and they weren't going into those and going into them as much as they probably should have, or at least how other teams would operate.
Yeah, so this is where... Yes, Dennis, the point guards, Malachi, the main ball handler, Scotty, and Pascal, they have to be an extension of the coach, right? They have to really dial in on a film and a feel of the game to be able to like, all right, 0.5's got to take a rest for this possession. What do I got out here? What's the play call, right? Like, they got to really – that's it's on them because, like you said – I'm not, if I'm asking you to play fast, I'm not going to be like, oh, all the time. And then I learned this from Earl Watson. Earl Watson used to have three plays already on deck. He talked about it all the time. He was like, it was how I did my checklist for the game too. It's like, I can do that fast because I'm already going to relay the three plays to you. So we could do it fast. I'm going to tell you when we come off the bench, we're going to run this play, and that play. I don't care if you score on the first one, we're still going to run the other two. Because it's going to show me the defense, what they're doing, how they're doing it, and then it's going to allow how we play freely after that. So I'm going to run a screen away for you. I'm going to run a pick and roll with Paul. I'm going to run a cross screen for whoever. And we're going to be able to play with pace because I already told you. And then from there on, we all know what's working. So there's no excuse to how we play now, right? Like,
yeah,
you can't be upset that I called the cross screen play again, or we run some type, or freely we go. Because now guys see and they freely go do it without you calling it. Because like that's the best matchup. That's what we're going to attack until they change something. And I think that was one of the things I picked up from like just noticing that extension of the coach type thing. Like knowing what is out there and what's going on and just really having a feel and a pulse of the game.
I always see Dennis and Darko talking at practice too. Always. But at the same time, as we talk about this, I mean, now I'm seeing Pascal bringing the ball down the floor. Like, honestly, I haven't seen him do that very often. Maybe in transition, but like they inbound the ball and Pascal Siakam has the ball in his hands, which I thought was interesting. And he mentioned the other day, actually, again, that, you know, it's a transition. Actually, not the other day. It was last night after the win. He said that, you know, it's a bit of a transition not having the ball in my hands as much. I feel like they're making some tweaks along the way here. And when I mentioned the post steps, I mentioned Pascal bringing the ball down the floor. Like, these little things, I think they're kind of figuring out their flow as we go, so they can maintain that pace too, because you want Pascal Siakam touching the paint because that's where good things happen.
And I also know, I know this, or I know what it looks like with Pascal doing it already.
Yeah.
I got 2 years of it. Even if I wasn't the coach, I know we can do that. I know the success rate. I know we can use it when we need to use it. Right now, I need to see totality. I need to see pieces of everything. I need to see, I need to make a way where we don't have to lean on that till we need it, like really need it, till it's fourth quarter and I've got three guys with 15 points already and the help is a little different. I don't need you looking at the other players, the other eight guys looking at you the entire game.
Yeah.
I don't, because now I can't create your rhythm either. Now your rhythm is so much harder. So now you don't have a rhythm and you got to take this game winning shot for me. And those guys don't have a rhythm when you pass it to them when the double team comes. So now everybody's messed up. Right. And that's the thing.
Anything else on 0.5 basketball? Like it's a tough thing to talk about because so much of it is just on players making intuitive, instinctual decisions on the fly. But it just seems like, I mean, I like when Chris Boucher is on the floor, he's got a really nice, ghosting and then rolling to the basket, and how he does that, how quick it is. I mean, it looks really, really fluid, and I would like to see more players doing that. But I guess we're finding ways, you know, as we head on to the season, which players are doing it well, which is what you mentioned. Those are the guys that are going to play. Jalen McDaniels didn't play yesterday. So,
yeah. This is how it should be.
Yeah.
Especially when you want to play a big rotation, like he said. So now what this does for Jalen, it sends his butt right into the gym. So when his name gets called again, he's ready. Or if somebody gets hurt, he's ready. It doesn't allow him to get complacent with what's going on when you notice that, you know, I can put Grady in the game. I can put Malachi in the game and play off ball too. I can play three big wings. There's so much space for you not to lollygag, right? Like, I don't have time for you not to – I want to play you, and you do bring things to the table, but we need them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we're going to get chances. That's not to say you play bad, I'm never going to play you again, but it's going to keep everybody's fire lit. And that's the, and we get in situations sometimes. You see it on teams where guys, sometimes they're just – when they fall in funks, it's just because they're allowed to stay in it. Like, they get to, like, be like, oh, I'm just not figuring it out. Right? Like, no, figure it out.
Yeah.
And I'm not making light of it. I'm just saying when there's – for your guys that are up and coming and trying to figure themselves out, this makes you figure it out.
That simple.
Main guys don't need motivation. That's why they're main guys. I don't have to motivate them. I don't have to tell them. They already know. And they built up a bank of consistency that allows me to trust that they'll figure it out. Young guys, they don't know. Some of them just don't know how to figure it out yet. It just takes time. So they need to sit down so they can digest it. Because if I leave you out there in the middle of it sometimes with a young guy, it makes it worse. Because you lose all your confidence. Because now you're just beating yourself up. Then you go look on your Instagram. Then you hear some guy on the third row. Then you know what I mean? Then you see somebody write something. Then, like, all these things that are also part of this world start to, like, pile on you. And we've seen it time and time again with young guys. And they have to get it. And they don't play well again until they get a change of scenery. Because it has to be something so drastic to reboot them.
Mm-hmm. Same with Malachi this season. He's had some downs so far. Mm-hmm. Downs as in, like, the play hasn't been very consistent. He's getting the ball poked. The bench has been a problem, you know, throughout this season. That was actually, yesterday was probably the best performance they've had. You know, it was stable minutes. They were a net positive. It was good. And he played well too. I mean, you got to give him credit. Like, he was breaking down his defenders. He was getting in the paint. He was making some kickout passes. He had one to Grady Dick. He had one to Otto Porter Jr. for three. Good stuff from him. It's good to see that he's figuring it out a little bit.
If I'm them, of recent games, I go watch Chicago's bench and just see, like, the way Torrey Craig and Caruso and what's the other young kid's name that went to Illinois? Even Javon Carter, like, the way that they play, right? It's like, bro, I'm on the floor. I'm diving. I'm hitting people. I'm not going to foul out. I'm not going to play enough minutes. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get exhausted. I'm not going to play enough minutes. I'm not going to play. If Pascal's playing 32, I'm not going to be, like, you know what I mean? Like, so there's space for me to play, but I'm not going to get anywhere near that. My longest stint.
Why not work your ass off?
Yeah. Why not? Why not gas out? And if I do get tired during that time and he got to take me out, so what? I gave him everything I had. And I'll get put back in the game because of that.
Yeah.
Those guys.
Utah play that way. That's what I loved about Utah last season. He plays, not last season, two seasons ago when he was here. 15 minutes, and it's like he's worked harder than anyone who played 30 minutes.
and you could watch a game. He could be 0 for 5, 0 for 6 from 3 or whatever. It doesn't – the things he's doing besides that are so much greater on the game. As long as the shots are the right shots, I do not have to take him out of that game.
Yeah.
You're going to make a shot at something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not worried about that. You've shown that. What did he shoot from three that year? He should have been in a three-point contest one of the years, though.
Oh, sorry, with the Nets. Yeah, he was very good.
That was the Nets. Sorry, I'm thinking about that year. But anyway. The thing is, I'm saying, like, that is not the end-all, be-all. It doesn't have to be when you're off the bench, guy. Because your effort, we should say the bench mile. We can't be a drop-off. That's the main goal. There cannot be a drop-off. We do not go in there up 8 and come down 8 or 10. We do not go in there and the game be even and it dropped. That is the number one rule. And then we learned how to make plus four, plus 12, or down two, plus five, or even game, or down 15 to down two. We learned how to do that. But the main goal was like, everything you got, because we can't be a drop off. That's the only concern.
Nice motto. I'm going to ask you about Pascal and Scottie's shot diet, but we've kind of talked about it here and there. Right now, Scottie's shooting 43% from three. Very cool on 4.2 attempts. Pascal shooting 38% from three on 5.8 attempts. Obviously, if they're able to make those at a league average clip, I don't think Scottie's probably going to, you know, stay where he is. But hey, prove me wrong, young man. Prove me wrong.
It depends on the shots, right? That's what it really depends on. It's not the capability.
He's making some crazy threes. Yeah,
but that's the thing, right? Like, but this is what we also got to remember, that's the way it goes. Like, even if you watch a Steph season, like, there's going to be a point in time where he's going to shoot 49% on, like, eight attempts a game for, like, a month. And then there's going to be a week and a half where he shoots 32% from, like, you know what I mean? Like, it goes – for every shooter, it goes like that. The end number is all that matters, right? Like, and obviously you want more even kill. You want more mid – like, you want more 38, 39% than you do want the big drop-off and the high drop-off, obviously. But, like, the end of the year – nobody looks at a 44, 42% shooter. It's like, man, but yeah, back in December, he only shot. Like, nobody does that when it's over.
They only do
that in that moment. Like.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Anything on their shots, the shots they're taking, anything you'd like to see different about it? I mean, as I said, like, they're figuring this thing out and it seems like they're getting closer and closer.
I like that there's no hesitation. Like, I don't, that's the biggest thing for me, because they're not bad ones, right? I like, especially on the catch and shoots, like, I like that they're ready, and like, when they come into the square in their shoulders, they're in a position to go or shoot, drive or shoot. So they're just reading. You're going to play off. I don't have to shoot nine of them. I just have to take the one that you're playing off me, so you don't play off me the whole time. I don't even have to make a high percentage of them all the time. I just have to show you I'll take the shot.
Yeah,
because you don't want me in rhythm on all three levels. If I'm Scottie, if I'm Pascal, you don't want that.
It changes everything.
It changes everything, because now you cannot guard me.
No.
Like, now there's nothing you can do with me if I'm making threes. Pascal's made his first makes him in a three in a couple of the games. And he's been getting open looks just from being open to being in the offense, moving and being ready and not having to think about it. I still love the play they run also, by the way. It's like a pitch back to Dennis Schroeder that leads to a flare on the empty side.
Yeah, he beat Bobby Portis with that, right? It was the inverted Euro step.
Yeah, that was nasty. Yeah. There was a drive from the corner that's nasty in the beginning of the Chicago game, too, that he makes. He gets an and one, I think. It's like some type of weird Euro, and he ends up throwing it back over his head.
Yeah, he's so talented. Man. Yesterday he was asked about the 3-point shots, and he's like, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, I put up 1,000 of these during the summer. I put up 1,000 during practices and stuff like that. He's like, I may as well put them up in the game too and live with the results. It's true. And his form, yesterday, though, good.
His form looks good. Everything looks good. He's just, you make a miss. That's what it is. Like, they go in sometimes. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they go in a lot. Sometimes they go in a little. It is what it is.
And having fresher legs definitely helps. Let's see if that
1,000%.
Yeah, and let's see if that helps Pascal Siakam, Scotty Barnes, all these guys make shots in the fourth quarter where they struggled a little bit last year in crunch time. We're going to wrap it up with the Dennis and Yak pick and roll. That's become more and more potent as we go on. Dennis, he's fourth right now, fourth in assists per game, 9.2 per game right now. And what I love about this pick and roll is that it's good, but it's like there's so much room for it to get better at the same time.
Yeah, there's so much space. And the biggest way they're going to get to that space and get better right now is really from reps. It's really from just seeing different defenses try to play them different ways. It's just from playing, like, because they can do every type of thing. Like, they understand it. They can read it. They just got to play until some team throws something funky at them. They're like, oh, let's figure this out. That's the fun part, right? Because now if I beat that, I know you can't guard me the regular way. That's why you're doing the funky stuff. So now if I figure this out, I'm prepared for everything as the year goes. But they're so good because Dennis attacks. Dennis is coming off of that thing like I'm going downhill.
Turns a corner and
you better make a decision right now before this happens, because if you are in the middle, I'm getting by you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting by you and I'm going to get an and one, or I'm going to get to the rim where I can get to the corner, kick out pass. Like, you better be in front of me when I come around the screen. And that's the thing I love about him. And he's taking the pull up, which is great. He's making some. It's not a lot of them, but he's taking it. And that's the best thing about it, like, because he's capable.
He had a floater, too, yesterday over Brook Lopez.
Cool. Yeah.
And he's getting into his passing bag, too. He's got this between the legs pass that he's doing. No. Yeah, he loves that. Yeah.
The pass to Yak in the Chicago game. Mm. That one was pretty.
That's, he did that again against the Bucks too.
Yeah, that was in my notes.
Ooh. He's finding different ways too. I remember Fred when we did the pod with him last year, he mentioned that once Yak came in the door, trade deadline, that he had to, you know, rediscover some aspects of his game that he hasn't really had to use. And that pick and roll got better and better as the season went on. It became one of the more potent ones in the NBA by season's end. And what I like about this aspect of Dennis and Yak is that we talk about what makes a good pick and roll combination, right? And it may be a different formula depending on the players, but with Yak, I mean, he finishes really well around the rim. He's awesome at making those, like getting those deep seals with some of the bigs down low. The pocket passes, the dump offs, he's got good hands. And then with Dennis, I mean, it's just the downhill penetration and the array of ways in which he's able to, you know, create these passing angles because of his speed. But there has to be ways in which, I mean, I was even seeing it yesterday, that they're not connecting all the time on screens. Right. And that's part of, you know, 0.5 basketball. Maybe they're just like, they're not in sync in some ways. And this is going to come through reps, but I'm curious what you think about this is, how does it get better? Right. It's reps, but what are they looking to rep out?
More hits on the screen or on the ball defender. Cause that's what starts everything. I just need to make sure I can make him go over or under. I want to make him go over. That's what I want every time. I don't want to allow anybody to go under. I want to, even if I don't get a good hit on him, I want my angle to be in such a way where he cannot go under, because the route would be so far that he wouldn't be able to guard. It would be an easy shot. So, like, the biggest thing is make sure I can get him to go under. And then Yak, because Yak does such a good job of finding space, like finding a pocket. He presents himself well. He'll sit behind, burst off those screens, burst through it. Sit behind it, or he pops real fast and gets ahead of it. He makes sure he reads the bigs' intentions really well, because once the guard gets off the ball handler's body, he knows they're done for. Like, he gets, so he doesn't try to stick around and try to make sure he cracks them really hard. If I can't get him, I make him change his route, then I'm out.
He pushed a dude yesterday too. It was hilarious. I forget who it was. He just gave him like a little push and like, oh well, 2-on-1 done. It was funny.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, is just making sure we can continue to find the angle. And then Dennis is going to get even more patient the more he notices that Yak can get this from every time, right? Like, there's not, I know we're playing 0.5, but there's still a patience and a pace to what we're doing. Because once we get to this point of the pick and roll, we're not 0.5 anymore. This is either the play call or everything's broken down and now we're just getting to this so we can make the right play.
What I'm finding at points, and this happened at the beginning of the game when all those turnovers were happening, and Dennis actually had a couple of them, is that there's a space, if the screen doesn't go right, there's a space in which Dennis has to make a decision. And Brook Lopez is a center in this case. He's protecting the rim. There really isn't a window necessarily for a pass to Yak. I mean, he tries to do a jump pass or maybe like a quick shovel pass. Sometimes it works out, other times it doesn't. But it's like the floater range, but also he's going downhill. It's like a weird spot where he has to be able to make a decision and try and orchestrate offense. I'm not sure what he does about that, because he isn't, you know, 6'5", right? He can't just go into the center and, you know, make contact, draw a foul necessarily. Sometimes he can, but it's kind of a thing that they're going to have to adjust as they get these reps in.
I also think, I mean, obviously he's a pro. I can't tell him what to do. Like, not trying to like act like I know I'll see y'all, but watching it, the more he can work on flying full speed off of that and shooting that pull up at full speed, so he doesn't have to sacrifice his speed to make the big make a decision, the easier that will get, right? Because the speed is what makes everybody react. When you're coming off and you kind of got him on your hip and you're like trying to like, everybody kind of gets to play at that pace too. But the speed that he flies off at is what makes everybody be like, I'm too late to go, so I'm going to stay home. or I'm going to, or I got to be there early, right? Which makes you be able to have decisions. So the speed he comes flying downhill, if he can get to 14 feet and pull up on a dime and make that shot, it will change everything. Like,
yeah,
because now it's just another piece to the recipe of this situation we got going on, right?
Yeah. You want to be able to finish at different levels. And there was a pass that Pascal gave Jakob in the Chicago game or the Trailblazers game where he came off a screen. And again, you're dealing with a lot of players stunting and recovering. And this is why it's so important that in the corner when Pascal or Scottie are there, when they're spacing, they're able to make those shots. So that way some of these windows are more open. But Pascal gave a bounce pass to Jakob, and it was around the free throw line. And I'm like, I don't know what you want Jak to do with the ball in that area. Because like there was like he still had like the drop defender right in front of him, and it was just kind of an awkward space. Mm-hmm. And if you want, you want to be able to finish at all levels of on offense, right? So the 3-point shot, right, even like the top of the key, free throw line extended, nail area, just keep on finding ways in which you are able to finish a play. And I find that they don't really have all of the levels covered, but they have a lot of them covered, and that's good. And not all pick and roll combinations do, like not all of them are like, a Trae Young and a Clint Capella or whatever, where Trae can just get his floater off from pretty much anywhere and it goes in.
That floater is crazy.
I know.
But so Jak is not terrible in that space. So I've seen him make a couple more. I think it's a comfortability thing. Like he hasn't had a lot of time in that space, but at the same time, I'm with you. Like it's an awkward space to like kind of, and I'm still in the space too when I pass it to him. Like I'm not even out of the way. So it's me, my man that's coming, and the big that's right there. So it's almost like the same with him, like little with Pascal, like working on some little like, I mean, he's got it because his mid-range, he's added so much to that. So like little like the Allen Iverson fade off 2 feet. He used to jump stop and fade one way or the other to get his shot off just to create a little bit more space. And because it's such a short shot, and if I know Pascal can do it if AI was doing it at 5'11", right? Pascal in that position creates so much more space and or has to do less of a fade. Mm-hmm. And then now, like you say, we add this shot to the game. Now the big has another decision he has to make. Now it's on the scouting report like, hey, he likes to take this shot. So now I can't play halfway when you get in there.
Yeah. Might be unfair a little bit to Pascal right now because there was a defender in the corner. There was a Raptor player in the corner. So there was a lot of traffic. It wasn't empty side pick and roll. Then there was more space. But I'm just,
This is P Skills.
P Skills.
The man of many skills. I don't want to hear. No, I'm just kidding.
What's left on CJ's notes? Anything?
Let's look. I put
it in the notepad phone.
I actually had to put it in my phone today because Isaiah was not having me write today. Milwaukee game, no hesitation on threes, early TOs, OG having a perfect game, right? It's a big thing, him being able to do that. Some making
nice
shots,
drives towards the baseline too.
Yep. He had a reverse and one. Was that, maybe this is a different game, but I noticed one game he gets a reverse and one dunk from like under the basket. It's not the cleanest dunk, but it's impressive for his size and what he does. Dennis's pass, we talked about. Grady giving up the and one, then takes the charge. Them just literally out playing them, right? And then watching the young guys and knowing that in the beginning of this year, the up and down is going to come with them. Like, you got to know that as a coach, and you got to and as veteran players, right? You had it. It's going to come. They got to learn how to be consistent. They got to learn how to prepare. They got to learn how to control emotion. Dennis having 9 assists and a half is evidence of the pace, them playing a certain way. Dennis attacking. He's attacking everybody. Like, whoever's in front of
him. 50% from three, by the way, right now. 50% from three.
And everybody in front of him is food. You know what I mean? When he's in his scoring positions and he's in his pick and roll positions. He's in the slot. He gets to the rim. It's one dribble, either from a hesitation or across his body in some type of crossover, and I'm picking it up, and everybody's making a decision. You get there to meet me, or I get in the air and make a pass, or whatever it is. That has been, he's been special with that. Them really looking for Yacht, and him operating in the baseline and in the mid paint area and in that half circle area has been special. Like he's really figuring out how to open himself up, and defense is loading to the ISO players or to the weak side, and he's just following them basically, and then picking which way they don't go, and they're hitting them for quick passes.
Pascal found him a couple times, right?
Yeah, and then the other guys just keep moving, keep taking your shots. Like the guys that are just like, there's a couple games where guys don't shoot well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're good shots. Take them. Yeah. You're being told to take them. That's why you're being able to stay in the game. Keep your confidence. The Rasul Butler, rest in peace, Rasul Butler. Learn this from him. The one thing, so what he would do is he would come into the arena the day after games, and the shots that he missed, he would take them cold. He would, that would be his workout before practice. He would go work on them with no warm up, because like, I'm coming off the bench. These are the shots I'm getting. So we're going to rep these out, and I'm going to have to get warm as we go. Like, obviously, you can't do those, like, sprinting in them, but you just get in those spots. Mm. And you take those shots. So you can see the ball go in from those spots. And that was a thing that I got from him. I learned from somebody. I never played with him, but I learned from a coach that played with him when I really became a primary guy off the bench. That was one of the things I took. It was like, all right, what are the shots we missed yesterday? Let's go get reps of those right now. Walk in the gym, shoes untied, not even ready. Like, nope, go, don't pick up the ball. Don't do no ball handling yet. Don't do, go take those shots and see them. Get it out of the way. Like, right? Get it out of the psyche. Yeah. And that was that's a big tool I would give to young guys.
Mm. Right now, the Raptors are not shooting too well from the corner threes, but I mean, we'll see how things go. Right now, they're actually overall, they're 14th in 3-point percentage. So above the break is much better, but the corners right now aren't where they're finding success. We'll see what happens, man. Like, they're going to keep on figuring this out. Going to keep on trying to make these shots. And obviously, we just talked about, you know, the pick and roll between Yak and Dennis, and corner 3-point shooting and some of those for the kickout passes, whether it be Yak, whether it be Dennis as he goes downhill. All very helpful. So
yeah, it's all going to grow. It's all going to grow. It can only grow. Confidence grows. Guys getting more minutes, getting understanding where, like we said, where they're shooting from. You can there be specific. Speak it. Sound it out. Specific with reps. Specific.
Yes.
And the work.
And we put the work in today. That was a lengthy pod. I felt like it might be a longer one because there was so much to cover. So
it wasn't one game. We had
no. No, it wasn't. So thank you, everyone, for listening. CJ, a final thought, if you got one.
Peace and love.
Okay. You were Donkey Kong for Halloween. That was awesome.
I was Donkey Kong for Halloween. I was. and that it was not tailored for me. Let's just put it that way.
It wasn't supposed to be anyways.
I didn't wear it out on the street. I changed when I took the kids out. It would have been slightly offensive to wear out on the street.
Ah, I see. I understand. On that note,
you can't walk up on somebody's front door. Like, you
no,
know what I mean?
No,
like,
no, no, you can't. There's children everywhere.
Kids on the street, and there's everywhere. Mothers and dads, and it's not, you don't want the wrong type of attention.
No. Okay. Take it easy, everyone.
Everybody, peace.
eBay, what's it like? What's it like to see the moment, to feel yourself growing? This is greatness that I'm showing. Close your eyes, I'm still glowing. Close the door, I'm still going. This is grand business. Have a seat and be a witness. Hey, what's it like?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.